We are back with episode 2 of Through the Branches, the Sylvania Chamber podcast. I'm really excited. I'm Tiffany Bosch. I'm the president and CEO of the Sylvania Chamber, and I have my co-host and guest here with us today. But Dustin, give us a little background.
Yes, it's exciting to be here for episode 2. I'm Dustin Dell, founder and CEO of Beyond the Horizon Consulting, and Dustin Dell, motivational speaker. And I definitely love the topic. I'm not going to give it away yet, but the topic we're going to talk about today, and we have an industry expert with us. I will let her introduce her lovely self.
Sure. I'm Jamie Blazevich, and I'm the research and promotion specialist for Buckeye Broadband. I have been there for 4 years, and I actually came from a traffic safety. So I was going out and promoting traffic safety, no texting, no driving, and I happened to be noticed by my supervisor at Buckeye Broadband, and he said, you know, you were working the crowd harder than anybody else on my team. So they created this position for me in research and promotion. And it is really interesting because if you think about research, it's more introverted. Promotion is going out and promoting the ad sales team. That's very extroverted. So I have a balance of both. I really enjoy what I get to do because I get to do the research part of it, and then I get to go out and promote the ad sales team.
Very cool.
Absolutely. All right. So we're going to rip the Band-Aid off, talk about advertising, because we're no matter how you think about it, it's out there. I search for something on my phone, and then I go through social media, and 5 different ads pop up.
Yes.
Do you have any background research information on that?
Oh, this is my jam. So this is why I like to go out and do this type of stuff, because once you understand how this all works, you're like, oh, okay, yeah, that makes sense. And then you want to search for more things because then more things populate in your feed that you wouldn't even known about. So have you ever heard of data brokers? Mm-hmm. Okay, so data brokers is a multi-billion dollar industry. It is individuals sitting around, and all that they're doing is that they're collecting personal data on you. That are specific to individuals. So that's going to come from your public records. That's going to come from your search engines. That's going to come from all of the things that you're doing online, what you're watching on TV. If you have MPerks from Myers, if you have a Kroger card, they're collecting all of this data on your purchasing habits. And then what happens is that these third-party vendors will buy this data, and then we subscribe to these third-party vendors, and it puts all of this data into this nice platform for us to go and search. And then, therefore, we can really target those individuals and their buying behaviors.
No wonder I keep getting cheese at advertising.
Yeah.
Somebody's out there like, this guy eats a lot of Cheez-Its.
Mm-hmm. So have you done the toasty ones?
No.
Okay, you'll get an ad for that now.
Oh, thank you.
Yes.
Toasting. Okay. That's a lot to absorb. I know we've talked about this, you and I, together, so I have a little bit of background on it.
Mm-hmm.
But, wow. So, as businesses, how do we approach our consumers with that? Like, how do we take advantage of that information or work with companies?
Sure thing. So I don't know if you've seen the reels on, you know, any of the social media platforms, but they'll take the different generations and they'll ask them, how do you answer a phone? And the younger generations, they go ahead and they click, right? And then, you know, the older generations, they actually pick up the phone and they hold it up to their ears. Well, we have to make sure that we're talking to the right person. And we have to start with the research to make sure that we're really hooking them from the get-go. Because if you're going to promote something that is for an older generation, but you are really targeting the younger generation, they're going to be like, yep, that product is not for me. So we have to really understand the actual consumer, and the research plays into that.
Very cool. There's so much here, because we're living in a day and age of where if you almost don't have a social footprint or a social brand, you're kind of in the stone ages. I hate to say that. So doing what you do, what's probably the biggest mistake that you see business owners make that maybe if they're listening today, they could take it and say, oof, I'm doing that, but let's get a solution and here's a way to pivot. So what's that one thing that you see most owners do?
That one thing is that owners think everybody is interested in their product.
That's gold. I love that.
What?
Not everybody likes ice cream. I'm sorry,
come on. I'm lactose intolerant, I get it.
I mean, some people like Cheez-Its, okay? Yeah. So
forever the cheesy guy.
So that's the biggest mistake. Mm-hmm. And when we go out and we talk to clients and I'll do a research presentation for them, they're just like, oh my gosh, I didn't know that about my consumer. I didn't know that my consumer, you know, was more in this age bracket. Mm-hmm. I just really thought it was everybody, and everybody was going to, you know, want my product. And commercials and advertising, it's just a communication strategy. That's actually what it is. And if you don't start off hooking your consumer, they're not going to hear your call to action at the end of what you want them to do.
I think Nick Saban said it once as a nod to ice cream. They said, how do you run such a successful program with players? And he's like, if you want to make everybody happy, sell ice cream. It's not mm-hmm. what I'm here to do as a football coach. Mm-hmm. So to your point, it's huge for business owners to know mm-hmm. You don't need everybody.
No.
You need the right niche and the right town and the right quadrant. So,
correct.
Very powerful.
Yeah. So just to go on that a little bit, we had a physical therapist, and he had the niche market for older adults, seniors, all of that. And what he wanted was to attract the younger adults or the younger kids, the sports, the athletes. And so when we were talking to him, we're like, well, if your commercial is all, you know, older adults, senior citizens, you're not even going to catch them from the get-go. So at the time, my son had a mullet and he was an athlete. And he said, I want him because if somebody sees somebody that looks like them, they're going to attribute their service with their demographics. And so we went ahead and we filmed that commercial, that spot, and the individuals that actually then walked into his place were amazing. And they were in the younger generation because we were speaking to that generation. We got them from the get-go. And then what's the call to action? So we really have to speak the language first.
CTAs are huge. I know when I meet with business owners, I'm like, oh, well, what's your CTAs? Yeah. And they're like, my CPA? Like, no, your CTA.
Okay, for those who don't know this, because it did take me a second, I was like, CTA, which I should know. Define CTA, can we, it's call to action.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, yes, sorry.
No,
put that on the board.
Yeah. Call to action.
So I think there's some rules, if I remember right, having a call to action, and you can be the expert and tell me mm-hmm. in the seconds, but I think it was like within like 1 to 1.2 seconds as you're scrolling a page, a repeated call to action so it stays front of mind. So is that something you see to be effective? Is that something business owners could do more of to incorporate? Where do you find the balance?
Yeah, really having that strong call to action. What do you want me to do at the end? And another thing that we do too is that with our clients, we'll do an A and a B. So we can produce both, you know, two different type of ads with two different call to actions to see what demographics are actually clicking on that. So we have the click-through rate, which is then, okay, did that person actually scroll long enough to then click on what we wanted them to do? The other really cool thing too is, we like to look at conversion rates. And so geofencing is a really another good topic that we can talk about.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I think we dive right into that. Geofencing,
yes.
Like what it is. So let
sure.
you define it, but also how do businesses do it in a simple way, but yeah. also is there more advanced options for them?
Sure. Yeah, so geofencing, of course, is where we draw a digital circle around somebody's business that we want them to see our client's ad. And then what they do is when they walk into that particular business, they'll get our client's ad. Mm-hmm. So it might not be a competitor. It might be through our research that we have realized, all right, let's go with ice cream, shoppers and clients, right? They're not just eating ice cream. So we can look and we can see what other attributes and what other, you know, things do they shop for? Mm-hmm. Where are they shopping? So through our platforms that we have, we can really get niche. We can go down to the demographics. We can look at females with kids, without kids, different age brackets. So depending on how that certain client and what they want to grow, we can look at those different attributes and those different products that other people that they might be buying, and then geofence those type of areas.
So small business owners, I'm going to direct it at that because they usually don't have a team. And so you're sitting there and you wear many hats.
Sure.
So from your experience, what would you suggest? You know, we've thrown out geofencing, the CTAs. Mm-hmm. Where do they start? What is the basic that they could do if they need to start marketing now?
Yeah, that would be to contact us at Buckeye Broadband. and the reason why I say that is because we are a one-stop shop.
Yes.
I like to explain it that if you, if you want eyeglasses, you want your groceries, you want all of these things, you're pretty much going to go to Costco because you know that you can get all of your stuff in that one area. You don't have to go here. Then you don't have to go here. And you know it's good quality stuff. I don't know about you. I have not had one thing at Costco that I did not like.
Had too many things that I
you've had so many things that you like and you keep going back.
Yep. Saturday is morning crops is the only thing I don't
you know?
Yeah.
But in their customer service. When have you ever had bad customer service at Costco? And that's how we like to attribute ourselves at Buckeye Broadband. We have a wonderful production company, and their name is Rev, and it's Rev Up Your Business. So we can do the commercials. We can do all of your digital ads. Then you get the research part of it. And that is the biggest piece that a lot of people miss. So you get that. And then you get our digital director. He sits right next to me. So if we do come up with a strategy, and it's going to be different for each client, mm-hmm. it's not a one size fits all. It's going to be dependent on your what your budget is. Mm-hmm. And then the nice thing is, though, that if we do try and we collect that data from ad A and B, mm-hmm. we can in a dime switch and say, okay, you know what? Let's swap out B and we're going to just go with A. So we don't have to call anybody. We don't have to wait. We can have that in an instant. And so that's what I really like about working for Buckeye is that we're just a one-stop shop.
You're able to work with so many team members. Mm-hmm. And I received a tour of your facilities. It's beautiful. Mm-hmm. And lots of different departments. You know, you offer complimentary services and kind of mm-hmm. to help small businesses, any size business. Can you share one of those opportunities that our members might have to be able to take advantage of?
Yes. So it's called a consumer analysis. And it's what we just were talking about is that not everybody's your consumer. Not everybody is going to want what you have. So let's really dig down deep. We'll look at your website. Websites are huge. Mm-hmm. Yes. I don't know about you, but if I hear of a business, the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to go to their website. And if it's slow, I'm out. Yeah. I'm like, you don't care enough about your website. So we do website design too. And we do redesign. Mm-hmm. So if you look at your website and you're just like, gosh, you know what? I created this on WordPress. That's fantastic.
That's where everybody
okay.
starts.
Right? Everybody starts
on Wix.
Then it moves up.
Yes. And you're just like, you know what? I did as much as I can. I know my lane, and so I need help. And we can really then dig down deep and see how slow is your website. How does it look on mobile? Is it slow on mobile?
Yeah.
So we have to, it is a comprehensive consumer analysis that we do, and we provide this for free.
Very cool. Mm-hmm. There's a big debate out there, and I wanted to save this question for you because this is a good one. So there's a big debate on impressions, mm-hmm. and are they a vanity metric, and are they not a vanity metric based on when you stop scroll, and how are you really targeting those ads? And I know when I work with some of my owners, like, hey, we had, 3,600 impressions mm-hmm. on our post. And I don't want to crush their bubble, but I tell mm-hmm. them, well, what did you equate from an ROI? Mm-hmm. So what is your standpoint on impressions? Are they really as impactful, or is it just more of a this many people scrolled past it or maybe stopped for a microsecond?
Well, I guess for us, we do look at impressions. Mm-hmm. We do use that, but that's not the only reporting mechanism mm-hmm. that we will then use. So we'll use pixels on the websites to make sure that people are actually going to their websites.
Awesome.
We will also then do conversion rates. So we'll look at the geofence and how many times people walked into that particular building, saw your ad, and then walked into yours.
Yeah.
That is, that to us is more tangible than impressions.
Yep.
And we can go back and forth.
Yeah.
And most of the time, if somebody comes to me and they're like, oh yeah, but what about this? I'm like, no, with impressions, I think we're going to have to agree to disagree.
Yeah.
Do you have something that you can see people actually walked into your store?
Yeah.
Because if not, let's do that.
Mm-hmm. Conversion's huge.
Conversions are huge. So our reporting is beyond.
Awesome.
And the nice thing too with digital is that you don't have to be a Buckeye subscriber. So we can target anywhere. We have clients in Texas. Mm-hmm. We have clients all across the state. So just because you don't have Buckeye service, it doesn't mean that you're not going to see our clients' ads. We were just talking, about all of the data that's been collected. I've been searching cruises. We've been wanting to go on a cruise. I have YouTube TV. Do you know almost every single one of my breaks has some type of cruise line on them? So
Taco Bell ad. That's direct marketing.
Yeah. And here's really something too that I don't think people realize is that depending on who's watching the YouTube or any of your apps, they're going to get served different ads because of the data that's collected on them. So you can still have two accounts. One is with your husband, one's with your wife. Your husband is going to get different ads because he's searching up different things.
Yep.
So we can target different people within the same household.
Makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
I do a lot of meat smoking.
Okay.
I'm a big smoker, so I go to YouTube. First five reels are meat church barbecue and pellet smoker. I'm like, oh, okay, not gonna buy that.
Oh, they got you.
I'm a sucker for
that. Advertising works.
Like the ding, 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 ding.
Yeah, shocker. It works. When targeted, right?
So getting to advertising and being memorable, because you get those grill ads, the pellets, whatever, and you went and bought something.
Yes.
How do businesses create that memorable ad?
I'm gonna go back to research. What is it that actually communicates best? Because for the younger generation, it's going to be certain size advertisements because they're used to seeing reels in a certain size.
Yep.
And sometimes clients don't realize that. We have the major production team. They are great at looking and saying, okay, so are you going to use this on, as commercials? Or are you going to use these as social media? Because those are going to be completely different production types. So we have to look to see exactly who your target audience is and what is really trending. And then we have to then go and we'll produce a commercial based on the target audience, what's trending, how do we want to start that communication with that potential customer.
That reminds me of Super Bowl ads,
Oh, yes.
They start off, as I've watched the Super Bowls over the years, very funny. And then there was a couple years they were all very emotional and like heartwarming and heavy. And then this year, I noticed a lot of feminine commercials, and that I'm going to chalk up to like the Swifties all watching.
Yes,
so they were directed
absolutely
at the women in Swiftie crew that was watching it. So that's marketing agencies knowing ahead of time who's going to be watching the Super Bowl this year.
Yes.
A different demographic than normal.
Yes, yes. And that's the nice thing too, is where are we going to position these? If it's going to be on actual TV, where's your demographic? What are they watching? What are the trending shows? So again, it doesn't have to be a Buckeye type of a network whatsoever. So we can target any app, we can target all of that depending on the target. It's based on the client's actual audience. And that's what we'll target.
So, and I don't know if you could give us any advice on this. There's a lot of social media channels.
Yeah.
So you almost as business owners or marketing directors, managers, you have to look internally at your your products to go, where do I need to put this? So you can focus on TikTok and focus on Instagram commercials. So besides the reporting and going through that, and Dustin, you might be able to also answer this long-winded question. How do you do that self-reflection? What would be your first step for a self-reflection to say, here's my clientele, or how do I want to switch that? Like, did that ask a question?
Go kick it off.
Okay. That was a long-winded question. We can cut or not cut that out.
Well, you know what, though? Coincidentally, I just did a report based on women 45 years old in a certain zip code area and where they spent their time. So I can actually look in certain zip codes and I can collect that data on specific demographics and see exactly where they're spending their time. 35% of the women in this area, 45 and older, are spending time on Facebook. And we broke it down. We had Twitter, we had Snapchat. Snapchat was down pretty much, right? Yeah. That's not where our target audience is going to be. So we can look at it as a whole and we can say, okay, well, let's put 35% of the, you know, this is where you're gonna get majority of the demographics looking at your ads. So that's why our reporting, or that's why our research is very, very, it's very in depth. And then we can also, I just did a report on what are they, where are they watching their television? Where are they getting it? Are they getting it through their apps? Are they getting it through regular cable? So we can really get granular with our research.
Very powerful, As I knew, as my business grew in the consulting and speaking world, the power of simplicity, we were talking about that earlier. And there's like certain things, and I can't claim these. I've learned these from the guy, you know, who I look up to. And he always talks about you have to know what you want to sell. You have to know where you're going to sell it. And then most business owners struggle with how they're going to sell it, right? So that's where I think advertising can be powerful. In the mix of it. And going back to T Swift, one of the things she's done really well, truthfully, there's more psychology reports now on how she emotionally influences buying behaviors because she's so vulnerable and raw.
Sure.
That's what these psychologists have pulled out, you know, that she talks about a breakup in a song. And then everybody who's ever had a breakup sees a certain sweater and they're like, that sweater represents that emotion.
Yeah.
So how do you help, besides the data, and that is a big piece of it, how do you help your business owners that might be a little reluctant to try something new, because we've always done it this way, which is sometimes the death of an organization, right? We'll pause there, let that one. But so how do you help them overcome those emotions and say, let's try something new?
By going out and educating them. By just saying, hey, this is how this works. And it's really going back to, I think what we just all, what we talked about in the beginning is you get ads and you buy it. Why wouldn't somebody do that for your business as well?
Yeah.
So it's just really getting out there, educating individuals, making advertising not so like, I want to spend money. I have to spend money. I don't want to spend money. Because money, when we talk about money in any concept, everybody gets kind of like, So it's really just saying, you know, you don't have to spend 50% of your, you know, your income or your revenue on advertising. It can be very simple. We've got very simple thing. Again, we're going to start with is your website. Your website. The other thing too is just making sure that everything in the organic SEO and when you search that all of the businesses and all of your information is correct. If you've moved, you know, is that all correct? So it's really just looking as a business as a whole and making a comprehensive plan so that when somebody goes to search, when somebody goes to your social media, that you're posting on a regular basis and a regular cadence. That's one of the biggest things too. Are you promoting yourself on a regular cadence? Are you actually talking to your audience? It's going to be different if you're talking to your audience and what you're posting on Facebook and then Instagram. Those can be completely different and they should be different.
Yeah, websites are huge, especially when you start talking about SEO. One of the mistakes I made early as a business owner is I paid a lot of money to have a fancy website that nobody could get to.
Oh.
And so my business guru is like, you got a fast car in the garage with the door shut. Can't do anything with it. So now I've reverted the last couple of years, putting a lot of money into SEO.
Yes.
And I've seen that pay off.
Yes.
Companies in Texas reaching out, and California, New York. So for those listening out there, spend the investment. And one thing before I turn it back over, I love what you said. People get real nervous about cost, but they forget about value.
Oh.
And the difference between the two. Mm-hmm. It's going to cost a little bit to be in business, mm-hmm. but the value you give out and receive, mm-hmm. sometimes that cost is worth that. So what's your thoughts on that cost versus value perspective?
Yeah, we do. We'll struggle with that. We'll go out and we'll have presentations and good, better, and best. And everyone's like, oh, I'm going to go with the good. And we're like, okay, let's try that.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just try it. And then if that works, let's up it. Yeah. So let's start small. Let's just start small. We'll meet you where you're at right now. Other people like to go full in.
Yeah.
And so we meet them where they're at too. But again, it goes back to that where we're at in our business and our organization can switch on a dime. So if you want to start small and you're like, oh my gosh, I cannot believe I just had 10 people walk in and they said that I saw your ad, can we up that? Absolutely, let's do it.
Yeah,
so
very cool.
So it is, it's just making them feel comfortable, because anytime that you're spending money, you want to feel comfortable. Mm-hmm. You want to make sure that this is going to be a nice return on investment. Now, what we do say is that we can bring people in the doors and then they have to take care of the selling. We are not going to be
customer service.
Right. Yes. Can we pause again?
Yes. Yeah. Customer service.
Yeah. Customer service.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a local franchise owner here. Met with him and just asking him, you know, your customer service is so great, and I'll let people start to figure out, because most people get it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was like, so what is it? And he's like, well, you know, we really pride ourselves on the experience. He said, we put a lot of money into advertising as a company, mm-hmm. but if we drop the ball at the finish line, mm-hmm. you know, when the customer gets here, then we teach our teams that's, you know, literally throwing money away that way. So I think that's a huge point for business owners is training. Mm-hmm. And maybe we can switch to leadership a little bit. Mm-hmm. How do you help? Let's say you go into a business, mm-hmm. hypothetical, right? Mm-hmm. And all business in Toledo is great. So we're going to be mm-hmm. hypothetical.
That's right.
Yes.
That's right.
So what if we were to walk into this imaginary business and the ads are working and things are going great, people are coming in, but you're technically not in charge of telling them how to run their shop, but you know their leadership's affecting your results. And I love to laugh because this is, again, not happening to Toledo. Yes. But how do you manage that as a professional trying to not overstep boundaries?
It's a really hard one. It is a really hard one. Right now, we actually have a new product and it's all about hiring. Everybody's having trouble finding people. We have an awesome digital solution and it actually follows the person. So instead of just posting on one particular site, like Indeed, we will go ahead and we'll move that job posting around wherever that person is. So it just doesn't stay stagnant.
Mm-hmm.
So it's more like a digital, it's a targeted advertisement for job opportunities. And there are some clients that are like, this isn't working. Yeah. We can't find people, they're quitting all the time. And so, you know, that's kind of the hard thing because we're getting the feedback that your job solution isn't working. Where most of the time, I mean, if individuals are leaving, that's a good sign that there's something wrong with the management.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a very difficult, because we will get that. It is very, very delicate to deal with. And so, you know, you just have to smile and say, yes. You're right.
Yeah.
You're right. And move on.
Again, it kind of goes to that reflection on a company and, mm-hmm. you know, whether it's advertising, hiring, training your mm-hmm. managers, it's being able to be vulnerable mm-hmm. and saying, what can I do better? Mm-hmm. And is this on me? And I think there's a lot of experts in Northwest Ohio, I'm sitting with two, you know, who can help answer some of those questions or help kind of dig deeper mm-hmm. on a personal level, because you could be having 50 applicants that are qualified, great, they come in the door, and then all of a sudden you're like, your manager's a nightmare to work for, like they're not a good leader. So who do we
who can we refer out? And is it Dustin? Is it the Sylvania Chamber to start working on that leadership training?
Yeah.
And for businesses to be able to access that. And again, it's small businesses. I mean, it's not something you probably intentionally do, but it happens.
It happens. Yeah. And I think that that's where, again, we have to stay in our lane, and we are like, okay, yes. Who can we then suggest for this piece of your business? We can help bring them in, but I'm not a counselor.
I love that.
I pretend to be.
That's a bumper sticker. I'm not a counselor.
I'm not a counselor.
Don't honk your problems
Don't
at me.
Honk your problems. We're getting a trademark bag.
Yes. Yeah, 5 cents per usage.
Everybody gets stickers. Yes. That is difficult, though, for, again, that small business, many hats. Mm-hmm. You're probably stressed. We just, on our last episode, we talked to Brandon Fields and working with a lot of different employees and balancing those personalities and leadership training and but also consumers and knowing your targets. Mm-hmm. So you talked earlier about your role being created for you and you working with introverts and extroverts depending upon how do you balance that? How do you balance that?
Well, because I am balancing it within myself, because I might be in working in an Excel spreadsheet like I was this morning in depth, and then all of a sudden I have to come out and be an extrovert and talk. It really just depends on the day, really, for me. And I get drained whether I am high energy out or working in Excel spreadsheets. So, but I love both. I love both. But at the end of the day, when I can create a presentation with valuable information and then go out and present it, that to me, I get the best of both worlds. Yeah. I get the best of both worlds. And I understand, though, I do understand the different personalities in each one of those industries. So I can relate to them because I'm balancing it myself. So I recognize if somebody, isn't fully engaging in a conversation, I can look at them and I can say, oh, okay, yeah. I mean, you're more of an introvert, and I'm not going to take that personal.
Yeah.
Because sometimes I can. If you're not going to talk to me, I'm like, wait, what is wrong with me? What's wrong with you? But then I have to understand.
What's wrong with you? I talk to everybody. I talk to you. It's like there's just that it doesn't, you don't align. And it's okay. You don't have to align with everybody to talk to everybody.
Nope. But I do really appreciate it because I think people feel, they feel both sides, and they can come in and they can verbal vomit. Mm-hmm. And I like that because sometimes people just want to say what they feel, but they don't want any advice. They don't want any suggestion. So like I'll ask them, I'm like, is this a verbal vomit session or is this, do you want my advice? Because I can do both. I can do both. So I appreciate having both personalities and recognizing that in other people as well.
Yeah. So the emotional intelligence is huge, talking about the empathy aspect. Mm-hmm. I was at a meeting this morning and I asked the individual, he's a leader, and I said, hey, why do most people like to argue? And it's like, it's for validation. Mm-hmm. Like when two people are arguing, the one wants to validate that their side, their emotions, their opinions are correct. So I think from a leadership standpoint, you brought up an amazing point. When people come in and are frustrated, they sometimes don't want an answer. Mm-hmm. They literally just want validated that I'm allowed to feel this way.
Correct.
But as a leader, it's like, okay, but you can't stay stuck this way.
Right.
So well, what do we need to do to get you back to your normal self? Because it is exhausting to be negative. You have to participate. To be negative takes zero participation to be positive.
Absolutely.
Can be happy. So
yeah. And I think, too, one of the things that I have recognized is recognizing what I need to work on, too. Mm-hmm. I work best on deadlines. So if I have, 10 projects that I'm working on and my supervisor then will go ahead and she'll ask me to do one more thing, I'll say, yep, okay, let's look back. Here's what I'm working on. Help me prioritize. Mm-hmm. So looking at it and saying, how do I function best? Because that makes me a better employee, recognizing that I don't have it all together, but I don't have to. I just have to recognize where I'm at, how I work best, and then asking for help and assistance. Isn't that hard?
Yes. And it's knowing where your weaknesses are.
Yes.
So for me, I can be very scattered. I can be really excited about projects, but sometimes getting all the little, the boxes checked, and that's where, you know, you build your teams up around you for people who are strong in that area. Mm-hmm. I recently did the predictive index with someone here local. I'm going to give a shout out to Sarah Best, and it was really great because I was able to get feedback on candidates for a job and look at their weaknesses or what this said. And I thought, how do I handle that? And as a leader and a boss, that's huge, because if I can handle that or I can grow with that person, great. But if their feedback is, you know, they're a little scattered, I'm going to be like, okay, we can't have two scattered people working on the same thing. It's just going to be a nightmare for all of us. So I like that. As a leader, you have to be reflective on yourself and how do you handle people with you and working with you.
And another thing, too, that I find so impactful is apologizing. We don't want to take responsibility for things if we've hurt somebody, if we've overstepped boundaries, you know. And I'm always, I will always say I overstepped my boundaries. And I'm very sorry for that, and I hope you accept my apology. So, and I think it just allows individuals to say, oh, okay, well, she doesn't have it all together. Maybe I don't either. And it can calm
vulnerability.
Down. Vulnerability. Yeah,
let's put that up there. Vulnerability. Word of the day. Vulnerability. Yes.
Episode 2 of the whole thing. Yeah. It just keeps, we're going to get all these episodes and it's going to just keep tying back to the same thing, because it's so true. People want a human with them that builds trust, whether you're a consumer, whether people are buying from you, you're a boss, you're a leader. You need to be vulnerable. You need to be human. And you're not perfect. And learn to apologize, and learn how to apologize sincerely.
Absolutely.
I think that's a really good segue into AI a little bit, because I know in my field and industry, I have companies who I've talked with, and they're like, you know, we've had the ChatGPT write out a training program, and we're just going to let our, you know, learning and development managers do that. And, you know, my ears bleed, because I'm like, oh, but do they know how, right? So in your business, let's make it situational based. In your business, these business owners have access to these AI programs, and they may be thinking from a cost perspective, I'll spin and do this. But what would you say to them that might help them say the ROI might not be what you think it is? How would you address that?
What we normally say is you're relying on a robot, where we actually have individuals that have been in this field for so long that can actually talk to you, that can actually speak back to you, can have a conversation with you. So while you might want to start there, don't let that be or be that's where you end. Let it go. Let it see where it takes you. I've used it. You know, we all have used it. But I'm not going to let that be how I structure my advertising campaign, because there's so many things that you guys have learned just from hearing what we do at Buckeye and the things. So it's that personal interaction. And the more that we lose that, the more that we become more introverted, and the more that we stay in ourselves, the more that we don't really see the bigger picture and the full picture, because we're relying on this one thing that we think. So while they might know it all in that one little instance, we will say, yep, start there. But then bring that to us, what you have taken, what they have told you. And then let's go ahead. And if that sounds great to you, let's build on it. Let's see what happens. I know, let's do a ChatGPT type of a campaign. And then we'll do a Buckeye campaign. Let's see what happens. We can do both of them and we can stop at any time. So we allow them to bring that to us, but that's not going to be where we say, oh, yep, that's perfect. Let's go with that.
It is huge. And I'd say on a flip side, because there are going to be viewers that use AI, and not to discredit them, on the flip side, I think AI can also plug the gaps a little bit quicker. I know sometimes I've looked at, with working with businesses, they'll do a financial report, like ChatGPT review the financials, and it maybe can identify just a little bit faster than what I could, but that's a good, you know, red light indicator on your dashboard of your car, you know, so, so there's positives and negatives there. But I do like what you said. Sometimes that experience accounts for so much value versus something going out and just grabbing and saying, here it is. Well, again, you got a fast car in the garage. Now what do you do with it?
Right. And we're trusting, you know, we're trusting a robot, but you're not trusting individuals who are in the industry and have been in the industry. So
why would I do that?
Why would you do that? I don't know. Yes, exactly.
Awesome.
Well, choosing that AI and, you know, it gives you the base point, like you were saying, that foundation, but taking it, it would, in the example that's coming to my head is, here, create an email for me, but not proofreading it and saying it's from me, but not actually proofing of what it needs to say that we actually do.
So we were talking about leadership, and one of the things that Gary Vee, very well-known brand ambassador, social media guru, talked about, that it costs $0 to show up anymore for your brand on social media, on presence. How do you take that in terms of leadership? Like, what does that mean to you when you hear, you know, it costs $0 to show up, and then how do you get it to the next level?
Sure. So every single morning I fill up my tank, because if I don't have anything to give, I can't give it away. So if you came to me and you said, hey, Jamie, can I borrow $5? And I look in my wallet and I don't have $5, I can't give it. So first off, you have to have it to give it away. And the nice thing is that every single morning I ask for the same things. And so I can give all of it away today, because tomorrow I'm going to fill my tank up again to give away. And so in the, it's very simple. I mean, in the grocery store, I went to the grocery store on Saturday, and I had three people come up to me. One of them, I was a little bit taken back at first. She says, are you a Susie? And I was like, I don't know. Like, what does a Susie mean? And she goes, like, a baker. Like, are you a baker? She says, because I really need to know where some evaporated milk is. And I said, oh my gosh, I said, yes. I said, I do know where that is. And I said, so go down. I said, but there's going to be two kinds right next to each other. There's a condensed, there's an evaporated. I said, don't get the condensed. It's completely different. So, you know, and then I went down another aisle and another gentleman, he asked me for applesauce. So it's your energy. Everybody can feel your energy. So when I go into work, I want that energy to be where people can come to me, they can verbal vomit, they can ask me questions, they can take whatever they need, because I'm going to give it to them because I have it first. So I'm going to fill myself up every single morning, and I'm going to give the best, because honestly, all I have is today. I'm going to live in the present because it's a gift.
Absolutely. That costs $0 to show up for your brand from the expert herself. That is awesome.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Jamie, for being here on episode 2 of our Chamber podcast. Woo woo. Dustin, thank you again for being our co-host, and stay tuned for more episodes coming up.
Absolutely. Awesome. Be well.
Thank you.
Awesome.
Awesome.
Thank you.